This is Ruthless Aggression. I hope y'all had a wonderful WrestleMania. I am Pierce. Rob and Chris are with me. The story is finished. Thank God. First off, congratulations, acknowledgement to the Tribal Chief.
Yeah.
An incredible reign. We'll talk all about the main events, because the first main event was pretty badass too. We'll talk about the big matches in full. We'll look back at the first 2 weeks post WrestleMania 24 in 2008 as we move on from the Ric Flair era, as so we thought. But let's start with WrestleMania. We're a week removed from it now. I was there. I was there for media day. I was there as press. It was an enjoyable time. Shout out to everybody that works for WWE. They did a wonderful job. Philly was a good city, good hospitable city to host it in. The Link might need to work on some things before Eagles season. However, an enjoyable time all around. I had so much fun. And then, you know, you get to the show of shows both days, which one for one, I called it on this podcast that they would do both days. And it's not, doesn't miss me that Wrestle Kingdom doesn't do 2 days anymore. I don't think Wrestle Kingdom has the cachet to do 2 days like they started to do. Meanwhile, the perfect decision for WrestleMania to go 2 days. And now that we are in the Helmsley era, the Paul Levesque era, sorry, excuse me. We couldn't do the Helmsley era or the McMahon Helmsley era, because that would remind you of some folks and they don't want to remind you of that folk. Now that they've laid it on thick that the Paul Levesque era is here, very excited for what WrestleMania can be in the future. We talk about it later in April. They need to do that. Fucking cold Saturday night. Sunday was a lot better. Yeah. Saturday night was fucking cold.
Yeah, it looked cold.
It looked cold. You think. Let's start off from a production standpoint, because that's one of the major changes that they did. Like, in this whole, like, you want to make it feel a little bit more sports. I actually really love that they would break in with the temp and the feel. When I would watch it back, that was such a good little subtle touch, because it was shit like that that mattered on a night like that. That, like, folks wanted to know, like, yo, aren't they fucking cold? Yeah, we were. And y'all heard we were fucking cold.
Yeah.
There was a lot of folks like, oh, you know, Philly needs to step their game up. You come out there and you sit in 45 fucking degree weather. You come out and pay all that money to go sit in 45 fucking degree weather, and they ain't got no ADA seats. Yeah, that was a thing.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Wild. The guest service line was insanity. However, production-wise, whatever Lee Fitting is doing to just change around that room, thank God he's in there. Thank God Kevin Dunn is out, because it's the little shit that matters. That one shot of Sami Zayn is what pumped me up for that match. Like, I knew it was going to be a good match. But that one shot, and just seeing him go through the motions and seeing the underdog in him really build up in those 90 seconds was so goddamn beautiful. And we'll talk about the match later on. But it's little stuff like that they're getting. The HD cam in the center of the ring when they're doing the championship reveals. And another kudos to Samantha Irvin. We talk about production standpoint. The star of WrestleMania wasn't Cody Rhodes, it wasn't Damian Priest, it wasn't any wrestler in the ring. Star of WrestleMania was Samantha Irvin. Samantha Irvin may have staked herself as the GOAT for that one damn WrestleMania. She did incredible. But it really felt like it was not only a new era, but they were getting it. You know, I'm watching in the crowd, like, The Rock's entrance. And then you go to Sunday night with how Cody was built up with the mask and with Brandy, and then the orchestra for Roman. Like, yeah, you know, you look at it, it's like, yeah, it's a regular WrestleMania entrance. But it felt bigger. It felt very Wrestle Kingdom-y in the campy ways that they would go about some of the introductions and some of, you know, the production style that they were doing. And I loved it. I loved every bit of it. I thought it came off tremendous on camera. I thought it looked good in house. when you realize we don't have to do the augmented reality shit and you can just give us something cool and authentic, it's wonderful. So kudos on the production crew for doing a wonderful job. For you guys at home, how did it look? How did it feel?
Yeah, it looked awesome. And I mean, you know, credit. I think the stage design was really cool. I know leading up to it, people were comparing it to the WrestleMania 35 stage where it was just kind of boring and there was nothing there. But like, the stage really worked, I think. And then just from there, everything kind of clicked. Like, there wasn't really many bad production moments. You know, you mentioned the Sami Zayn thing. Rock's entrance on night one when they had him like standing in the middle of his Rama Bowl symbol and it was like lit around him. Mm-hmm. And they did the shot from the top was awesome.
That was very cool.
Yeah, it is. It's just stuff like that. And even like they seem to have finally figured it out too, where like if you're going to have these peacock breaks and you're going to not have, you know, segments in between or whatever, make it related to the match coming up, or at least, you know, vaguely related to the show instead of just a random like superstar profile. Cause they just, that's when they played the, you know, pre-match videos was during those breaks, and that's how you should do it. So they figured that out too. Yeah, I mean, I think Lee Fitting, it's just been night and day. Like, they're just kind of ripping a lot of stuff from what UFC does. But, like, who cares? It works. And, I mean, it's...
And you can do it because corporate synergy.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, UFC kind of ripped it from the NBA, you know, showing the players showing up and stuff. So it,
also,
you
know. UFC ripped pro wrestling elements.
Exactly.
Yes, every other like, day. Exactly. All...
So, like, right. Yeah.
So they have no leg to stand on here if they ever decided to complain about that. Like, their entire deal got popular because people started leaning into pro wrestling and because of reality TV.
Like, it does show, too, just, like, how much Kevin Dunn was holding them back.
Oh, him and Vince were both holding them
back.
Well,
yeah, I mean, obviously.
I mean, for God's sake, Dunn especially, because, again, there was no innovation. Everybody said it. I don't know if anybody had, like, any specific answers as to what they wanted out of production.
No, but he figured stuff out like 20 years ago and just stuck with it. I don't think this is what because WWE is going to look like in 20 years now. So
no, because the show would be shot the same way in 2022, for example, that it was in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
You could watch a Raw or SmackDown from then. You could watch a Raw and SmackDown from now. Not much would change except
for... You know the heartbeats. You know how... You understand how things are going to fall into place.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So this is... It's night and day. It's very evident that they've made a legitimate effort to change up things. And I also, they said that they were going to pull back on the augmented reality stuff. I don't mind that. I think that should be only used for a special occasion. I think back when they were in the Thunderdome, that was one of my critiques of the whole thing, was that everybody got a graphic. Everybody got a freaking AR thing. Like, you don't need to do that. First of all, I have to be like... It costs a lot of money. And second off, if everybody has one, it's not special.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So just from that perspective alone, like it's not something you need to spam every week. I don't care.
Yeah.
The only thing that I'll say is that obviously I think Cody's is important to his entrance or whatever, because you know when he's on. Right. You see it when the beat drops or whatever for his song. So I'll be interested in seeing if he's pulled back or if everybody else is pulled back besides him. But
the only ones to me that make sense are his and Judgment Days.
Yeah,
I'm fine with the two of those sticking around.
Agree.
I mean, the big Roman is okay.
Is it though?
It's off-putting. Like
he squished our section the other night.
Okay. Yeah, I'll accept Cody, Judgment Day, and Asuka.
Yeah,
cool. that's fine.
Yeah,
we don't need floating big time backs. Oh yes, the Bianca's are fine.
Yes. Okay.
But
from production standpoint, they're just doing much 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 better.
Yeah,
the shots are much better. They're like working it so you're not always getting a camera switch after every punch or strike, for God's sake. Like, my God.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. And, like, I will say, like, one production-related thing that I know they're not going to change, but, like, I've gotten fine with Pat McAfee on Raw. 8 hours over 2 days is too much, Pat McAfee.
Jesus.
And it's nice, you know, commentary can do whatever. They can be a little looser now. Obviously, Michael Cole's enjoying it, but I think Pat goes too far with it. And
yeah.
It's...
Also, we'll say... I enjoyed their kickoff shows more than I have in previous years.
Okay.
Yeah. Once.
Yeah, they weren't curious about the kickoffs.
They weren't bad. I didn't mind the cast that they had.
Well, they were rotating the people too, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
which is what they need to do.
They should do. Yeah, I don't want to sit and listen to Jerry Lawler and Sam Roberts for 3 hours.
You could watch a pre-show in 2023. You could watch a pre-show in 2015. No difference at all. There was no effort in that. I'm glad that they're rotating the cast. I'm glad they're trying to do something with it. I mean, it seemed like it was just a waste of time and money, honestly, for a while. Especially when they weren't even doing matches.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think that they're making strides in the right direction in production. Much needed at this point.
Absolutely. One critique I would say, I would move Stand and Deliver off of Saturday morning or Saturday.
Yeah,
afternoon.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't. I think Sunday's vibes were excellent because no one had much to do in the lead-in. The tailgate lots were full by like 2-3. You know, everyone was kicking it, having a good time. Saturday really fucked people up because a lot of people went to NXT and then just left. And, you know, didn't get back until 5. And so, like, the tailgating was very few and far between. I don't think a lot of people really prepared for how cold it was. You know, like, and then that's a separate issue. But and whether NXT is going to be good or not, like, that's fine. But I think you need – I think WWE fans need to choose and you need to have a come down period. If you're an indie fan, you may be able to do it. If you're a WWE fan, it's a little bit harder. So moving NXT maybe to Thursday, what's wrong with that?
No, you could. And it's also like if people do go to SmackDown Hall of Fame, from what I remember, Hall of Fame ended at like 1:30 Eastern because it went long. So then you turn around, you go to Stand and Deliver, which was what, like noon Eastern?
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, WrestleMania, it takes a lot out of you. So and the thing, like the Hall of Fame SmackDown honestly should just be the Andre and then some like Mania promotion anyway, and then just do the Hall of Fame. It doesn't need to be a full SmackDown.
So it really doesn't.
Like, do Stand and Deliver that night and do the Hall of Fame after that, maybe, but then, you know,
that was literally what I was getting ready to say is, like, I understand NXT is going to be on CW next year, SmackDown's going to be on USA, but there's no reason why you can't just do a special NXT Stand and Deliver on Friday night on USA. Yeah. You know, or just make that the Hall of Fame and the Hall of Fame ceremonies on USA and you do something on Thursday. I
just feel like you kind of have to do it on Thursday. I guess not have to, but if you're going to move it off of Saturday afternoon, there's no real good place for it otherwise. So doing it on Thursday makes all the sense in the world, essentially, to kick off WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they have a show on Tuesday, but they tape.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
they tape a lot. So tape, do a couple matches on the show, do your prime targets, because they're always phenomenal. The one with Trick and Mello was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was good.
Do your pre-match lead-ups like you want to do with SmackDown, like I suggested also. They just do the Andre interviews. You know, like they used to where they, you know, they wouldn't have the arenas be full, but they would do the interviews anyway up in like the box. But yeah, start it off on Thursday. Have them kick off the weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, you
there's
know,
no
most
reason, there's honestly no reason not to because people get into people get into town on Thursday. So incentivize them and get more people to go into town by being like, hey, NXT's happening.
And like, but, okay, the shitty thing about it is, oh, well, Wale Mania gets scaled back or has to move to Friday. That's the worst thing in the world that it moves to Friday, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's because, I mean, Thursday night, like, I know the, like, big WrestleCon shows usually go, but, like, that's not the same audience as NXT for the most part anyway. Like, you know? But, yeah, I mean, was everything close to each other since it's Philly? I mean, obviously, you know, like the big arenas are.
Yeah, relatively, because if you were at the GCW shows, you were at Penn's Landing, which is a walkable distance to the ECW arena where they were doing the Hitchcock show and a couple shows on Friday. And that's not poor driving distance to the sports complex. And we took the back way into the sports complex, so we didn't have to deal with 95. So if you were trying to get off 95 to the stadiums, or if you were trying to take Broad, I'm sorry for you. That was a terrible fucking decision. And also Saturday, holy fucking shit, getting out was a bitch.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think
some people had tickets to the clusterfuck and didn't make it to the clusterfuck.
No, that's not. I kind of figured that'd be a problem because it is like the highway's right there, so it's kind of congested. Where like you got to get out and get right on, and overall, like from a production standpoint, I think they really nailed it. This is also the first year that Night 2 was better than Night 1, and I don't know if that was by design.
Absolutely, it's shocking because everyone saw the card for Night 1 and was like, "Oh, Night 1's gonna kick Night 2's ass." And it didn't. And it's not even just like the main event of Night 2 being so good, which it was. Yeah. Everything leading into it was solid. You know, even if you thought like, okay, I'm not really care for the LA Knight and AJ Styles match, or okay, well, Logan Paul's in that match. Those were both enjoyable matches.
Yeah.
Really enjoyable matches.
Yeah. All right. Should we
Let's get into it. The story is finished. The story is complete. Cody Rhodes winning the WWE Undisputed Heavyweight Championship from Roman Reigns. You want to do the night one main event first, or the night two main event?
Let's start with night one. I'm just see real quick if there's anything other than let's talk about the main event for night one first.
That's fine. Cody teamed with Seth against the final boss, The Rock, and Roman Reigns. Rock looked really good. If you would have told me he hadn't wrestled like fully in 11 years, and the last time he wrestled, he tore his quad, I wouldn't have noticed. He definitely looked like at some points he's in his 50s, which understandable, but like he looked real good, and he didn't look like out of place or winded or anything too much of the sort. The story they were definitely telling was, we're beating the shit out of Seth. Yeah. We're destroying Seth Rollins so that when he wrestles tomorrow, he's broken and he's battered. And then you get to the point where, we'll get to that. But, yeah, they really did a number on Seth. And that was the focus of the match to me, was less of that and or more of that and not Roman and Cody, because you knew we were getting that on night two. But, I feel like it was your standard tag match. Did it go too long? Yeah, it went too long. I figured there would be more shenanigans within that length. Yes. But I'm not mad that it went that long. Like, it's The Rock. He deserves that.
It is what it is. I mean, I think it took a while to get going, but because they were just kind of standing around for a while. They got it eventually, and just kind of told a good story about beating the shit out of Seth, like you said. I liked Rock's gear, kind of a throwback to his Attitude Era gear. He had
the tracksuit.
It was all just kind of the pageantry for this one. Like, all four guys had awesome entrances.
Roman's was subdued.
Well, yeah, Roman's the next.
His great entrance
was the next night. But still, it's kind of what a WrestleMania main event should have been. And I think it's really cool to do it at 40 like this after, with the main event of WrestleMania 1 being a big all-star tag match. Like, and, this one had a lot of hype. And again, I didn't think The Rock would look very good. So he did surpass my expectations because, I still don't know that I'd do a singles match with him, but, maybe. At this point, I'm more confident than I was a week ago.
I think you have to do two. He's due at least two singles matches. That's
I think
Cody,
he's doing the Cody match. The Roman match has to come back around. But,
The Cody one's the more immediate one because that's the one that you eventually set up on Monday. And hey, that's that one, it's great for Cody, but two, I hope that leads to Rock doing more than that, and we might see that within the stables that could come out of this. But I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, and this is just pipe dream, right? Just complete pipe dream. Rock in his 50s can still go, and he's going to be a fixture for a while. We know that. He's part of the company. He is a stakeholder in the company. You know who else is part of the company that we learned a couple years ago can still go? That we have never seen in a match with The Rock? Is it possible? Is it a maybe that just that one that you never had it. You two never did it. And you never thought it would. You never thought it would be possible. But now that you're here, Rock, and now that you're here, Sean, it doesn't even matter if it's in fucking Saudi or Perth or Glasgow. Just a maybe. I'm just throwing that out there if I could get that. I don't care if you two are geriatric. It's now or never.
You know what the thing is about that? Like, even if it's not good, Sean's last match is...
He was the best person in the damn match!
Well, and not only that, but it's that fucking terrible match where Triple H gets hurt and Kane's mask comes off and Undertaker can't wrestle. Like, so even if the match with Rock isn't good, it'll be better than that. It'll be better than, you know, that Sean's last match.
Right. I totally agree with that.
You know, we wanted the Danielson match. It's probably not going to ever happen now, whatever. But, like, ending with The Rock would be pretty historic. Yeah, because, I mean, I don't, if they did wrestle on a Raw or something, that they might have, but obviously nothing big ever.
They never did a one-on-one.
Oh, okay.
If I'm mistaken, they've never been in a tag.
Yeah, I know they had tension between them, you know, but. Yeah.
And that's something that you can play off of. And, mm-hmm. and it's even deeper now because guess who's the head of NXT?
Yeah.
And yep, guess who's exactly. The on-screen general manager?
Exactly.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's right there.
There's a lot of possibilities because, again, from what you hear The Rock say, I mean, he's leaving for now, but it doesn't feel like it's a long-term thing that he's leaving. And even in the, you know, weeks since him and Roman have been gone, everything's drastically changed for, you know, their faction. So there's a lot still there.
Yeah. Night two was the portals opening because we got Bloodline rules and yeah. It was almost everything that I thought it would be, except for one slight gongy change. But the fact the focus on the match first off itself, I very much enjoyed because they got good length with just the two of them in the ring together. No shenanigans, no tomfoolery, no fucking around. And that portion was good. And then you get the portals opening and all right, get the Usos out of the way. Get them the fuck out of the way. Solo needs to be a major player in this because he's the reason Cody lost last year. And the reason that Solo is kind of as big as he is right now is the feud with John Cena. So John Cena comes out. And of course, well, you know, who's John Cena's biggest rival of this era? It's The Rock. And The Rock comes out and just... We don't need to fuck around with the fuck around. Here's a rock bottom on your ass. And everybody's sitting there just itching. Let me hear it. I want to hear it. And it was a different sound. And that's not to say that folks were upset. Everyone lost their shit when the gong hit.
And he makes sense. Like,
storyline wise, he makes sense. The reason why he's there might be a little bit different if you depend on who you ask. But storyline-wise, it makes sense. It's still a surprise that people are going to get up for. And people were excited to see Taker, whether he was dressed up like The Undertaker or dressed up like he's going to Hog Wild, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think we all wanted to see Stone Cold. This is one where TKO probably should have just given him what he wanted. I know that's not how business works, but, you know. But does it take away from the match itself? Not really. Like, it was still a great match. I don't think it was quite as good in-ring as their match last year, but, you know, obviously the ending's a lot better. And the final 5 minutes is, you know, one of the most fun sequences I think they've ever done in the history of the company. And, you know, the post-match in particular was another thing. Like, Vince isn't here anymore because that would have never happened if Vince was there.
Oh, absolutely not. Like, that felt like 1994... Brett beats Yoko and gets the, and you called it, like, it's kind of had to happen because a reign of terror this long doesn't end and then the baby faces don't come out and celebrate. Like, that's kind of bullshit. Real quick, before we even go into that, like, I didn't understand Seth's reaction or Seth coming out the way it happened until I played it back.
Did they not find him or?
Did they not find him? No, I know no one knew. Yeah, he did, but no one knew where the fuck he was. Yeah. It was that slight like, wait a minute. Yes, you need to get that out of the way. You just want to see Seth. and no one saw Seth, so it left it up for Chance. And by the time you finally saw him, he was getting Superman punched by Roman, which, again, didn't understand his entry into this whole thing until you watch it back, because there's so much time. People are watching in the crowd or watching Taker run to the back, which was very funny. Very funny. They're all watching Taker run to the back, so no one's watching Roman decide who to hit with a steel chair. No one's paying attention to that. And that crucial moment where he's staring down Cody, the win's right there for him. But who the fuck is just still? And I was like, why the fuck is Seth still in the ring? Like, dog, you're dead. Like, the fuck? That's why he's still in the ring. And that's something that would have never happened with Vince.
Yeah.
Like, that level of callback and that level of storyline telling to tie it all back around it. Like, hey, he's still got PTSD from this. Yeah, he's still not over this. Right. 10 years ago. And you set aside them coming back together and all that stuff. It's like this new Roman that, like, yeah, he might have came around to it, but, like, he never forgave him. He never forgot. And that moment right there cost him everything. That's such a wonderful detailed storytelling. I'm so glad y'all got to witness on TV. The upset, like, we ended up getting distracted in the moment and kind of missing in turn, but it made the win, or at least the title loss for Roman, that much bigger. You know, we know really two of the three are going away for a while. Seth's going away for a while with his loss to Drew. Roman's going away for a while, but that's a major story that we're going to get when we come back, and I'm excited for them to tell it, because, you know, that's, I don't think ever Roman's ever really beat Seth. Like, even when they came back together after Seth's knee injury, I don't think he's ever beat Seth. Like, no, that's his one.
Yeah, not really. I mean, because even the Rumble match, he had to choke him out and get the disqualification.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not the biggest Seth Rollins guy, but I think he was one of the underrated stars of the weekend. You know, taking a lot of the offense in night one. And then, you know, the Drew stuff, which we'll get into in a little bit here. I will say
with the match, at least, because I guess with the Drew stuff, we didn't really got to talk about the match. The match was really good, and Seth did a good job in putting Drew over.
Yes.
You know, the point of the match is like, hey, I'm going to go away for a while, but I'm going to make sure that Raw, or at least like what's going to be left of it after the draft that happens, is stabilized. Oh, that's a nut shot. Is stabilized and set once I'm away. And you know, did a great job of putting Drew over. We'll get to the rest of that later on. But yeah, like you said, one of the MVPs of the weekend, and still able to do it with as much tax that his body has been hit with over a while. And go home, be a family man, dog.
Listen, like, do I think he probably should stand up for himself a little more after the Bray stuff and losing to Cody three times and all that? Yeah, probably. But maybe he doesn't care, you know? Maybe it's not up to me to...
He just hit a 300-day title reign. Yeah.
I was going to say, like...
They got the new title for him. And
come on.
No, it's just... It was good,
though. He has a place carved out, and he's about to re-sign for millions of dollars, and so is his wife. To, you know, so she can finish out her career.
No, but here's the other thing. They have me interested in him wrestling Roman at WrestleMania now, too. So.
Yeah.
He must have done a good job.
Yeah, because anytime that those two are around each other, the crowd goes absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
They did that on Monday on Raw. They should have done that match. I'll contend with that. I don't care. They should have done it.
Yeah.
I know why now they're pushing solo, but, I mean, don't dangle that carrot and don't give me it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they need to use Seth and Roman at WrestleMania, or I'll even take SummerSlam at some point.
I think
That it's gotta happen.
I'd even take SummerSlam. They gotta touch gloves. I don't care.
Yeah, honestly.
Get rid of the animosity and go make money.
I think that's that should be Roman's first match when he comes back. I understand the whole like rematch clause, like, yeah, maybe he uses it. But if he doesn't, that needs to be his first match.
Though, like, if you've done two matches at WrestleMania, the third match can't be anywhere else.
That's true.
I don't think that they should do the trilogy unless they plan on doing it at Mania.
That's true.
So they shouldn't invoke that rematch clause bullshit.
Okay.
Unless they want to do that at Mania. Don't sell me on the third thing where you went in all the way in at Mania, like in like Saudi or something like that. That's something that like Vince would do. Don't do that.
Okay.
So I agree with you. They should do Roman Seth immediately.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, real quick, the aftermath of everything. We'll start on Raw. We get the passing of whatever it is that Rock gave to Cody, and we're going to get that. Do we get that next WrestleMania?
I mean, SummerSlam, honestly. Like,
but what if he's not available to do SummerSlam? I guess way it seemed to me is that like he's not going to be available maybe until the end of the year.
That's what I think too, and I tend to think that your least favorite wrestler is going to get a title shot at SummerSlam because it's in Cleveland. But
which one is that?
Logan.
He can't get a title shot. He can't have a shot against Cody. He's not going to be a heel in Cleveland. He's not going to be a heel in Cleveland. He's from there. They'll cheer him.
No, they're not going to cheer him. Nobody cheers Logan Paul.
Now, still, I see stated that there's a possibility that someone kills Cody at SummerSlam. Because it's not in the realm of possibility that, like, Gunther just kills Cody at SummerSlam.
But that to be built up more. I need to see what they have in mind for Gunther over the next few months before I immediately say, yeah, we need to do that 4 months into his reign. Because keep in mind, I think Cody's going to hold on to that title for 6 months at minimum.
Fair.
So, because you can't have a guy who beat the longest reign in like 40 years hold the title for a cup of coffee.
Oh, well, they got a lot of big shows.
Yeah, they do. Thursday or Friday, we get the split. Jimmy Uso is no longer in this incarnation of the Bloodline, but you know who is? Tama Tonga making his WWE debut, finally. Sana Haku is here. And if you believe the rumor mill, the son of the Tonga kid is also here, Jacob Fatu, who, if you've ever seen MLW or been to an MLW show, just wait. Just wait. It seems like we're going to get Bloodline Civil War.
Yeah, which, hell yeah. Because listen, here's the thing. I said it before the Usos match, and we're not going to talk about the Usos match, but I just want to see
him. We're fucking not going to talk about the Usos match.
I said I just want to see him be a tag team again. Triple H saw their match and realized the same thing.
Thank you. You knew they shouldn't have broke up in the first fucking place. Thank God. I understand it had to happen, but thank God you got that shit out of the way. It wasted us a time at WrestleMania. We got to yeet. It's been cool. Let's get them back together now.
You know, Roman and those two, and then, like, I don't know if the last guy would be Sammy, because he kind of... Solo, probably Tama Tonga, Jacob Fatu, and
Rock.
Yeah, Rock.
Yeah.
Would be the last one. So, yeah, it's a hell of a War Games match. I mean...
How fun would that be to see it all come around, Roman, the Usos, and Sammy?
Yeah.
I would fuck it. That would be so great. Do we know where Survivor Series is?
We do not.
No, yet. Not yet.
So go down the line. France Backlash, Saudi for King and Queen of the Ring, Glasgow for Clash at the Castle, Toronto for Money in the Bank, Cleveland for Survivor Series, SummerSlam, do that all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And then Bash at Berlin. That's all we know at this point.
Probably another Saudi show in October.
And then the other Saudi show in October.
In the early November. They'll probably do another Saudi show in early November. They'll do
a U.S. arena show in October.
They'll do a U.S. arena show in October.
Yeah.
Survivor Series
will also be a U.S. arena. But not Chicago. Probably not Boston because they
just did Boston.
Detroit because they did Detroit for.
You just do the Garden
years ago.
Well, they're doing the Garden in June for TV. So? That's probably you can't get away with doing the Garden in November.
Can you do Miami?
Yeah, Miami.
Can you do Los Angeles? Somewhere warm, maybe?
Vegas, I guess.
If you want to tie it with
UFC, don't they usually do fights that weekend, Black Friday?
Don't remember, but they do. They do like an MSG show in November, and I think like December is the Vegas.
Okay. Mind you, Survivor Series is going to be on the 30th of November this year. If they do the usual after Thanksgiving.
That's too late.
Okay. Well,
If they got the Saudi show in early November, that's fine.
But yeah, they're gonna do the Saudi show on November 2nd, and they're probably gonna do Survivor Series on November 30th. Nah, that's fair. What's gonna happen?
But yeah, I mean, it, it's Survivor Series, if they, especially if they keep doing War Games, it's going to be another, like, destination show.
Yeah.
It's a good way to revitalize the concept, even though I like the elimination tags, but, you know, I get it. But especially if they do, you know, Bloodline Civil War in War Games would be tremendous.
Also, a certain somebody needs to win War Games for the first time, and that person is going to probably win War Games for the first time.
Yeah.
But we'll get to her later.
Well, I mean, we can just get to her now, I feel.
That's true.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Your girl had her moment in the sun, man. Finally, all the four horsewomen have had WrestleMania main event championship title moments. It was a good match. Everyone was invested. Everyone was happy to see Bayley win. I don't think it was, like, too much shenanigan that muck up the match. Nope. My thoughts on it don't matter, though.
You know, I think that going into it, I only had really one request, and it was just that there was no tomfoolery, because at this stage, it didn't need it, because Damage Control didn't really get involved or meddle with their matches. You know, Bayley would do that because she was being a menace, and she was obviously trying to wrestle Control back to her. But, yeah, that's really, and I wanted everything to be separate, and they kept it separate. They had Jade and Bianca and Naomi, who did fantastically against Damage Control on Saturday night. Shout out to all six of them for doing great. And then they did them Sunday. They had Damage Control go to the back. They just had to be one-on-one. That's all I needed it to be. And from there, I mean, it was just great. I mean, everybody was invested right away. It didn't take much for her to get people behind her, which is awesome. And very gratifying for someone like me who kept saying, like, you know, doesn't really, it, yeah, you know, she ate a lot of losses and she, you know, looked up at the lights a lot, but people like her. That just made people want to see her win more. And then when they got the opportunity to see that, they obviously jumped on the bandwagon because they knew where this was going. And while I did say, you know, you could probably play it both ways, as the tides were turning a bit, I was like, you know what? You got to pull the trigger. You can't just leave them hanging like that. It's not, especially because, like, it was right before Cody and Rome. And when they put them right before that, it's like, oh, okay, you can't have a letdown before the biggest, like, parade ever.
Which was real quick, by the way. My brother pointed that out, that it was the final two matches on the WrestleMania card were the men's and women's Royal Rumble winners. I want that to be a tradition. I would very much like for that. Unless it calls for both of them being the main event on separate nights, they should both be the final matches of the show.
I agree.
And
or unless there's a singles match that deserves to be the main event.
Agree. To be fair, this is 2 years in a row that they've done that, because Rhea and Charlotte was the penultimate match last year too. So they're trying to keep, if they want to keep that tradition going, I am totally okay with that as well. Because that is meaningful, I think.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it's been a long, windy ass road to get back to the top, but we're here and it's awesome. I mean, I said it yesterday or Friday rather. I'm sorry. While I was watching SmackDown, I'm like, she's really good at this and she's champion. It's all I could ask for. So I'm in a no complaint zone right now. That's just how it is.
There you go, man.
Let's go back around to the World Heavyweight Championship. After Drew McIntyre beat Seth Rollins to win it, he had it for about 5 minutes, and he was gloating right in front of CM Punk. CM Punk was like, "Yeah, bro, I'm from Chicago. I ain't having that shit." Shout out to Lockport Township High School. And then, see, I was getting ready to go to the bathroom, and then I heard the crowd ooh and ah, because CM Punk was like, "Oh, I'm not taking this shit." Because you know what's happening next. If it wasn't going to happen that Sunday, it was going to happen the Monday. And Damian Priest comes out, cashes in. And the cool thing about it was he had teased it when I talked to him and Finn on Friday. And he had teased the squad having 5 championships. And he very much was like, okay, you know, well, hey, maybe we'll see you out on Sunday. I didn't see him out on Sunday, and I was kind of upset about that. But Damian Priest, man. Congratulations, because, I mean, new to the business relatively. He's in his 40s, but he's only been wrestling for about 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
He told the story about he's homeless about a decade ago and found wrestling, and ROH was really his start. As Punishment Martinez, he gets the big move up to WWE, and you know he had been holding out onto the briefcase for a minute, and the gag was like, yeah, this is the dumbest motherfucker on the planet, but he was going to get that eventually. And for him to get it at WrestleMania, like, kudos to you, dog. From right up the road in the Bronx, he got to take the title belt and go hang out with Aaron Judge and his beloved Yankees, which he told me he thinks that this is the year, which, hey, I know somebody. I know something about thinking next year is your year. So,
hey, man, so far so good.
So far so good, ain't that right, Chris?
That's right.
Yeah. So, kudos to Damian Priest, man. Very happy to see him with the belt, and very happy for that picture on Monday, because that is a picturesque shot of all the champions in the Judgment Day holding up the belts. Mm-hmm. Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, and R-Truth.
Yeah, listen, I'm glad the belt's on Priest. I think, you know, this is one where it doesn't necessarily have to be a long reign, you know, just let him do some stuff. And, you know, he can beat Jey Uso and eventually probably drop to Drew or Seth or Punk or whoever and kind of set up the summer plan. But, he'll, you know, good for him for now. Because, like, I don't ever think, like, at the very beginning when he came into NXT, he was not great. Then he got a little bit better, but I don't think I ever thought he'd get like this high on the main roster. He kind of felt like a mid-card title guy.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to him for improving. Shout out to him, you know, for them believing in him and having faith in him. You know, they put him with Bad Bunny in 2021, and that kind of told you where they thought he would be on the totem pole eventually. And he had to get there too. And, you know, I think that there's a lot to be said about, you know, who he was hanging out with, Riddle, and who he doesn't hang out with now, and how that probably helped his way to success as well. So, again, shout out to him for staying on that curve. It's obviously always not easy, but this is what happens when you believe in people and when you push them and when you keep going. And I think that they did a good job with this, and I think they set up, like, four different things with the way that this match finished. You set up Damian Drew. You set up Damian Seth eventually. May set up Damian Punk down the line. I don't know. I mean, Punk helped. Punk may feel that he's owed a championship shot because he opened the door for him.
You may set up Damian Truth.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that for a one-off.
Yeah, there's a lot that you can do here. And, yeah, and that's a testament to how, you know, they've been able to set things up the past few weeks. And really, I felt this was a good use of it because Priest just cashing in on an injured Rollins after he's been embattled or whatever, that feels like the same thing that I've seen for years on end. Him going after Drew makes sense. Drew's the one who messed with his plans all the time. He's the one who got in the way. I thought they were going to be wrestling at Mania in the first place going into it because they were feuding and butting heads. So it makes sense for Priest to want to ruin Drew's moment. So I thought, and it makes sense for Punk to want to ruin Drew's moment too. So everything about that passed the smell test.
Yeah. And it's a testament to the Judgment Day and how
good
the Judgment Day has been on television and being able to, you know, stabilize Raw from a heel perspective. So this is just another win for the stable, you know, and to see all of them as happy as they were for Damian Priest on the stage the other night, which I thought was another like subtle little change. Just like, yeah, probably you would have had them just like all come out and do a little pose under Vince and Kevin Dunn. No, let's see you all elated and overjoyed for him getting his first championship. Like, that's the shit that matters. That's the shit people want to see. That's, you know, another form of storytelling is tapping into the human emotion. What's going to make people emote more? Folks standing on the stage and posing, or them standing on the stage in jubilation? So, another cool thing about that. The Women's World Champion, Rhea Ripley, retaining against Becky. Not as shocked after, like, you get through the whole, damn, is your whole WrestleMania run just a press tour for your book? Thank God that they didn't let Becky win. In hindsight, thank God they didn't let Becky win.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a little underwhelming.
Well, she was sick.
She was, but
she was apparently worse than let off.
So, yeah,
and so they said she was sick all week. We talked to her on Tuesday, and she didn't appear to be that sick. I'm not saying that she wasn't sick, but I would like to know the timeline of her being sick.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good match. It didn't feel like it was, and they'll have another one. And I mean, that probably will live up to it. You know, it just didn't feel, it was the biggest women's match I could do, and it didn't quite feel like it. I think Bayley Neal was quite a bit better.
Again, she wasn't healthy.
No, it is what it is.
But, and I think that they, for what they did do, it was really good.
It was, yeah.
I'm not knocking the match at all.
I think with the context of, you know, everything got less time than you thought because the main event was going to be so long, that helps too. Because all the matches that weren't the main event were about 15 minutes, you know, 10 to 15. It kind of felt like they didn't really get to, you know, the third act also, or whatever. But what they had was good.
But also, is that on purpose?
Yeah, I mean,
because I don't think that this was emphatic enough for me to say that, yeah, this is done with Luna. Yeah, she did the thing where she hit clean. She did, but that doesn't mean that it's over.
That's true.
That just means that it wasn't like a Charlotte Rhea thing last year where you knew it was done.
Yeah.
Because they made it an epic. This was not an epic, and that's probably because there's more to come here. And I mean, I don't think they're done with that either. So.
And it did seem possible that Becky, you know, was going to go take some time off, which does seem like she is now. Yeah,
I mean, she's going on a book tour, and she's not advertised for Raw until the day after her final day of the book tour.
Yeah, so I know we kind of went back and forth on it, but like it just wasn't time for Rhea yet, and you know, maybe SummerSlam seems like they're going back with Liv now, maybe. So
I mean, see how that goes.
Well, she threw a chair.
She threw a chair at her head.
The Intercontinental Championship. Not the only WWE Championship is not the only big reign to end, because Gunther's Intercontinental Championship reign has also ended the night earlier. Sami Zayn is your new champion. Great match.
It was.
Great match, great storytelling. Like those two dudes in particular, because Sammy is the ultimate babyface. Like he could be a good heel if he wants to because he's annoying. But when he's a babyface, like he just has this innate ability to get you to root for him as an underdog. And that was the story at play here in Philadelphia, where underdogs reign supreme. And Gunther, he wasn't the final boss, but he is a big boss. Yeah. In his own right. And, you know, there's the story of just him not taking Sammy seriously, you know, and then he was just laughing. And it was such a sinister laugh, like, dog, you don't belong in my league. And then Sammy's able to turn it around. He's able to grab that energy and turn it around. And that was just such a good moment in the crowd when you heard that three. And, you know, yeah, man, like very happy for Sammy. It's the second year in a row he's been able to have that moment at WrestleMania. I don't think there's a lot of folks within that company more deserving than Sammy. Great match. And then the biggest takeaway is Gunther's about to fucking murder whoever he can to get him a world championship. We're here, baby. We are here. We are here.
Yeah, I think he probably will end up on SmackDown in the draft. We'll see. I think he makes a lot of sense to go after Cody at some point. Mm-hmm. I know you don't have to rush it, but...
He should be King of the Ring.
Yeah,
he should be King of the Ring. Awesome.
He should, yes. Absolutely. Speaking of King of the Ring, Sheamus is coming back.
He is. Former King of the Ring. Yes. Yeah. About damn time. I know he's in contract talks and negotiations, but like, let's be real. He's not wrestling for anyone other than Paul Levesque at this point in his career. I don't see him going to AEW at this point in his career.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, I thought he would, but, and I don't know if it's for sure that he resigned, but I don't think they'd be bringing him back with however much time is left if he didn't resign. Yeah, exactly.
But you
saw they got rid of the guy who was in charge of all that stuff. Nobody apparently liked him.
Yeah.
And they were late.
They did change the talent relations guy. Yeah.
They did change talent.
They've kind of been dragging their feet on these contracts.
A lot of people
don't want them to do that. But I guess they're like, yeah, no, we get it. It's going to happen. It's fine. The same thing with Drew.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So if I don't think Drew's leaving. I think that contract will happen. Maybe they're not as anal about getting this shit done as they have in the past. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad business, you know? So we'll see what ends up happening. If you do this shit in good faith and then you're honest, We'll talk about it maybe in a little bit, but let's just say, like, I don't see the competition being a little bit worthy of Drew McIntyre or Drew Galloway. What other big matches, moments happen on that show? Shout out to R-Truth and Miz for winning the Raw tag team titles. SmackDown tag titles are with A-Town Down Under. Were those the right moves?
I guess so. I mean, Truth was... for the other one, yeah, I guess so. I mean,
there's a lot of teams that want to beat Theory and Waller up because they're punchable.
Exactly.
They're a heel tag team. There's some likable teams on SmackDown right now. People like the Profits, even if they're playing, you know, a role that I don't necessarily think that they should be. I think them and Lashley should be separated, but
they were good that match. Though.
They were really good.
That was a fun Philadelphia street fight. And also, shout out to B-Fab, because B-Fab's kick was fucking gnarly. It was gnarly on Sunday.
She did the Russian leg sweep off the apron through the table.
Her and Scarlett, big shout out to the both of them for getting hardcore in a match that was not centered around them, probably having the moment of the match. In a match that they weren't called for to be in. So yeah, kudos on them. That was a fun change of pace match after the Damian Priest and then into the LA Styles or LA Knight and AJ Styles. I guess for me, the match isn't like the selling point. It was a solid match. It was a fine match for them to do what they did at Media Day in turn that into a thing to push the match at WrestleMania. Great. We need more of that. Whoever made the call to do that. Fantastic. And I'm excited for the match. I believe it's next week on SmackDown to determine who's going to be Cody's number one contender. It's going to be AJ.
So,
yeah, excited for that one as well. But if they decide to do triple threat, I'm not mad at it because, all right, well, Cody's got to get some wins in his belt anyway.
I thought AJ and LA Knight had a really nice match, actually. Just nice little, you know, 12-minute mid-card match. Kind of felt like an older WrestleMania where not everything had, you know, these elevated stakes. Sometimes you can just have a nice match. And, yeah, they did do a lot at Media Day to build it. It was good. And the triple threat with Logan and Rainey and Kevin was, I mean,
I liked it.
It was fun. The Prime Bottle guy from YouTube got in Randy's face for some reason, and I don't think Randy was expecting him to do that or very happy that he was doing that.
I asked somebody, because like my section was like, it's speed. I'm turning around to dude around me. I'm like, who the fuck is that? He's like, it's speed. He's a YouTuber. I'm like, I don't fucking care. care.
He's just like in Randy's face.
He's there to get pummeled. Fine. He's about as meaningful as a jobber. Like, you could have gotten Dwayne Gill to do that fucking spot. You couldn't have just called in someone from WrestleCon. All them old motherfuckers couldn't come in and do a spot. Yeah. Like, get the fuck out. Good other six-man tag on the Saturday side. It doesn't miss me that they're calling themselves the Big Three. Because eventually it's just going to be Big Me. And I can't wait for that when Jade finally gets it. But okay, how do you feel about the quick matches for Jade? Like, I think that's pretty standard way of showcasing her. And anyone mad at Chelsea Green being the one to eat the pins doesn't know how wrestling works.
That's what Chelsea Green's there for. I know she had the tag title, but like the whole tag title ran with them retaining, even though she like
get her ass beat.
Her ass whooped. Yeah.
So like.
People need
she's a character. Like, that's the point. And that's why she's going to be there for a lot longer than a lot of these people. Well, maybe not anymore, but like,
people
she
need
has
to,
a role there.
People need to get a grip. Jade matches are not going to be long for a very long time.
Yeah.
Because that's by design. They do that all the time when they want to establish powerhouses. They're doing it with Braun. They're doing it with Jade. It's gonna happen.
Well, and the critique is like, oh, that's what they did with her in AEW, but it's not the same audience for the most part.
It's definitely not the same audience. They have to reintroduce her to everybody. Everybody knows how this works. And everyone wants to pretend like they don't. It's silly. It's a silly critique. And the other one is, as usual, people are like, oh, well, you know, of course women's wrestling is blah, blah, blah. They were like, oh, it got cut. Blah, blah, blah. And okay. I get it, but like, even if they did, okay, it was a squash match. They could have done that at any point. And they basically did with Bianca and Jade against Piper and Chelsea on Friday.
Yep.
So, like...
No, it's stupid.
It's stupid. They're squash matches. Squash matches are okay.
They're
a part of wrestling. If anything, there should be more of that.
There should be.
Yeah, because absolutely should be.
I understand you do have to sell for TV. I do get that. And you can. But a lot of times, you can get your point across with a squash match and give your person a free victory, free of charge.
Yeah.
And nobody loses anything.
Exactly. So,
there's nothing wrong with a squash match, and there's nothing wrong with being a lower card who gets mauled either.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. It's part of the job.
Yeah.
It's the ecosystem.
People are dumb. Last on the WrestleMania card was the Andrade Rey Mysterio defeating Dom and Santos Escobar.
Yep.
Fine match. It was for Philly. We expected the Jason Kelsey Lane Johnson spot to be the Sami Zayn match because of the underdog shit.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Ended up being this, which they wore the luchador mask instead of the underdog mask. It was fine. Lane wearing the Big Dom t-shirt. So funny. He was also very obvious it was them because look at their builds. Yeah. Shout out to Jason Kelsey, though, because be able to just, like, in those shoes, do a clean leap above the ring ropes? That's an athletic motherfucker. You know, I don't really fuck with Jason Kelsey like that, or the Kelseys in general, but that's an athletic motherfucker. I'm going to give kudos to him for that. But anyway, the point of this being, we thought it was going to be Dragon Lee, because Dragon Lee replaced, or he was the one who was called upon.
Yeah.
By Rey Mysterio, and was hoping to beat Carlito. Carlito was upset. When Dragon Lee gets taken out, we still don't know who beat up Dragon Lee. Carlito thought it was going to be him. Nope, it's going to be Andrade. So we're still on that as of last Friday. Rey Mysterio vows that he's going to find out who did it. You know, we know who did it. He's in your crib, dog. Like, look in the middle. Look in the middle, dog. I enjoy where all this is going with the LWO dissension and with Carlito.
Same.
It's been pretty fun, although I do think that Alexa Lopez probably should have stayed in NXT.
Yeah. I mean,
it is what it is, but you know. No. More Zelina and Andrade, by the way, because that was a fun moment seeing them get back together on the Friday.
Yeah. It was.
So hopefully it's them together again, please. I think that's it for the show of shows or anything revolving that. If I missed anything, then hell, we'll probably get to it when we come back again. Now, before we go back to 2008, we can't not get past the week without talking about whatever the fuck AEW did on Wednesday. And we all said, like, yeah, this is a bad idea. They're probably just going to have the Bucks do some kind of, like, shitty video and make fun of the whole situation. No, they showed the actual CCTV footage of CM Punk hemming up Jack Perry. And it made CM Punk, and CM Punk's a snake oil salesman, okay? Like, he can push whatever agenda that he wants to get across because he's that charismatic. He is 100% telling the goddamn truth. It made him look vindicated in what he said to Errol Hawani the week before. And it absolutely embarrassed Tony Khan in AEW. No one besides CM Punk and WWE comes out of this looking good. Not Jack Perry, not Tony Khan, nobody on that side. Maybe Samoa Joe, because Samoa Joe is that dude. But it's embarrassing. It's flat-out fucking embarrassing. And I'll say it right now. AEW has 5 years. I don't think they make it past year three, but they're definitely not making it past year five.
Yeah, I think, you know, overall it's going to be interesting, I think, to see what their new TV deal is. They're clearly, I guess, going to get one at some point. You know, it's been rumored for seemingly a long time now, but I know it expires, I think, at the end of this year. So, you know, we'll have to see. If they get a nice little bump, then yeah, they'll be fine. If they kind of stay where they are, it could get a little scary, you know, but yeah, I don't see the point in doing this the way they did it. It really didn't build to the pay-per-view. It did a little bit, I guess, but like
they tried to intertwine it.
Yeah, and it just like
backfire.
I don't know. Like, it's not WCW 2000. I know people have been saying that. It's not like quite that dire. But
no, it's not WCW 2000. It's WCW 1999, though.
Yeah, I mean,
trying a lot of someone made that comparison. Also, trying a lot of shit and nothing is sticking to the wall.
It kind of feels like they're kind of settled in and they're going to be what TNA was like in the mid 2000s. That's fine. Like,
yeah,
that's a fine place to be. And you know, maybe you're not going to be WCW in the mid 90s or late 90s, but you know, you can have a nice little as like a better TNA. You're probably not going to take down WWE, but you know, it is what it is. Just stop focusing on them.
Please stop.
And I get it. Like, you know, Punk did what he did in the interview. He said what he said, but you didn't have to feature it on your television show. Because the whole thing was like, oh, you know, it's WrestleMania week and all the WWE wrestlers can talk about is AEW because,
wrong.
You know, they had Punk and Cody were on the MMA hour and Pat McAfee said whatever. And like, they did like hundreds of interviews and those are like the three you're focused on. So yeah. It's just stupid, you know, like, and it doesn't help. I don't think it helps when Triple H says stuff like that about, you know, the grind or whatever either. I just think everyone should focus on their own shit.
Well, first of all these comments that you're referring to, are they happening on WWE programs?
No, that's the other thing. No, they're not.
They're happening on the MMA Hour. They're happening on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's to a pretty broad audience. I get that.
But
it's still not on their television program.
That's
they're
correct.
They're not promoting them on their television
program. Yes.
So,
you are right.
So that's not happening. My thing with them is just like, I don't know who it's for. And also, it didn't work. Everyone wants to point to the Raw number or whatever, and Tony Khan wants to point out like, oh, there was a huge ratings increase. Like, yeah, guy, because your show has not been good at viewer retention for the last like 6 months. There hasn't been a time on this show for the last 6 months where the peak wasn't the start of the show, the first 15 minutes. If they didn't have the Big Bang Theory leading them in, they probably would be worse off than they are right now.
Yeah.
They lose their audience every single week. It happened. They got a slight boost this week for the segment, but it was like 3%. It was negligible. They still had, and it still wasn't the peak. The peak was the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same fucking chart that it's been for the last 6 months. Excuse me cussing, but like this is just, it's stupid.
Actually,
I don't know who it's for. It doesn't make any sense.
I do have a point about that specifically real quick too though, because that's a really stupid thing too. You know, just from this week on Dynamite specifically, you know, people would be tuned in that probably aren't usually tuning in to see this footage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't you start with Samoa Joe and Dustin Rhodes, two people who, you know, if you have WWE fans turning in, they know both of them. Instead, they did, you know, the bait and switch thing at the beginning and started with an angle. Like, that was stupid, too. That was almost as dumb as showing stuff in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's just, they got to figure that sort of stuff out, man. Like, especially, you know, we talk about WWE's production being so, like, crisp and stuff now. Like, you can't be making errors like that.
But and also, I think really that their main core issue right now, they're just not interesting.
Nope. Yeah, that's the other thing.
They don't have a big story. They don't have a big story. They don't have a reason for people to tune into their television program every single week.
Like,
it's not enough to just have these people and just, you know, show them off.
Oh, for, but people really want to see Swerve win the AEW championship, though.
Yeah.
This to me is to sum up AEW's week for me. Is what one former AEW person said and what one current AEW superstar was doing. And Jade was at Media Day, and I'm very upset that I was not in her line when she jumped in the line, because her line was so astronomically long that next to Damian Priest and Finn Balor, which line I was in, and you go across and there's Lyra Valkyrie and Tiffany Stratton, and they had to be like, hey, yo, we got Lyra Valkyrie and Tiffany Stratton over here if y'all want to talk to them. I would have loved to talk to Tiffany Stratton, but I was already in line for Priest and Balor. Either way, she had spoke about why she left AEW. And she said that, you know, where she's at right now, I think she's in her early 30s. She's late in the game. You know, so many girls who are in this who are mid-20s, early 20s, getting that opportunity. And she can't waste her time on a promotion that's still trying to come up. is still trying to build themselves. And that, at the end of the day, is what AEW is. AEW is not a major promotion. It sells itself like a major promotion, and that's fine, but it's still in its infancy. And someone like Jade or someone like Ricky Starks, who is there on Sunday, and yes, as his friend, elated in the crowd for Cody Rhodes, but he sees what he can be if he leaves AEW.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen what he can be. Jade saw what she could be in, when she left AEW and Cody. So now people understand that if they leave, they can be a Cody Rhodes. They can be a Jade Cargill. They could be somebody that's already with a name that doesn't have to sit there and go through the motions or go through the ropes and try to learn with AEW. You know, put this as the cherry on top of a shit weekend for AEW, because I think it really exposed how much of a number two they are. Mm-hmm. And they keep digging themselves into being a number two.
Yeah.
So
agreed.
Let's go back to 2008. Let's try to get through it as quick as we can. WrestleMania 24 just happened. It was an all-time fun WrestleMania, and we're getting the fallout of it.
Yes, we'll just do the week right after, and we'll save the other ones for...
I was just saying, Pierce, I'm surprised we didn't cover Ronda and her hilariousness.
Yeah, we can let some shit play out, because I think that's still... we're still waiting to hear back on, like, the Drew Gulak situation of it all.
Yeah.
So that's still developing. We can wait on that shit.
All right. Top five songs, down to five, Love Song by Sarah Bareilles, down to four, With You, up to three, Sexy Can I, down to two is Love in This Club, and new number one is Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis.
Such a good fucking song.
It's everywhere.
Damn, so. That's a good fucking song.
Top five movies, down to five, Drill Bit Taylor, down to four, Meet the Browns, debuting at number three, Superhero Movie, down to two, Horton Hears a Who, and debuting at number one, 21.
Oh, the card movie?
Yeah.
That's actually a really good movie.
Card counting.
I watched that in statistics class once. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Just one piece of news around the wrestling business. Robbie from the Highlanders was on TV at a TNA taping, and they sent him home, and the Highlanders are pretty screwed now.
You see, if you would have had tunnel vision and seen what Ricky Starks did, just not be on TV, if you just be incognito, you would still have a job. Just saying.
Yeah. No, exactly. Okay. So now we get into the Raw after WrestleMania from Orlando. We start with John Cena coming out. Well, John Cena's music hits, but he didn't come out. And then Triple H's music hit, and he didn't come out. Then Randy Orton's music hit, and he did come out because he's the champion. And, you know, everyone has to respect him now. He's beaten Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, Jeff Hardy, Triple H, John Cena. Those last two were in a big victory in the main event of WrestleMania, which it wasn't the main event, but, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Randy sure Triple H and John Cena will want a rematch, but they don't deserve one. He doesn't need to prove anything to anyone. It's not the Hulkamania era. It's not the Attitude era. It's the Age of Orton. JBL comes out, and he's the one that wants and deserves the title shot, but eventually, he leaves after making his case. Randy's attacked by Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy's back, so.
He is.
That's fun. And then Matt Hardy tells William Regal that Randy Orton cost him the last 3 months because he attacked him while he was in the hospital. He was feuding with Jeff. He wants a match tonight.
Yep, that is true. Because if you remember, when he was feuding with Jeff, he kicked him or whatever and took him off TV.
Yes.
So then we get our first match of the night, Caden Murdaugh against Crime Time, who's back.
Crime Time.
Yeah.
They're back. They're going to do big things again. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Getting some Ric Flair career highlights tonight, and we start with the cage match against Harley Race. Shawn Michaels comes out to thank Rick. He didn't want to do it, but he owed it to Rick to bring his A-game at WrestleMania, and it would have been an insult to not do that. He's got the burden of being the guy who ended Ric Flair's career now, but good news for Shawn, that won't last forever. So
it will not.
Got that going for him.
Yes. Backstage, Regal told Shawn he did what he had to do, and it should have been done a long time ago. In the background, we saw Batista glaring at Shawn. Then we got Leonard and Kendrick defeating Hardcore Holly and Cody Rhodes, who are still the tag team champions. We got another Flair highlight, which were the Steamboat matches.
Yes, and it's time for Chris Jericho against CM Punk, which first of many matches they'll go on to have over the next 15 years or so.
Yes.
It's pretty good. You know, a little callback to the end of Money in the Bank when Punk got Jericho trapped in the ladder, and Jericho gets the win with the Codebreaker, but Punk got a lot of stuff in, so it was good.
Yeah. We got another Flair highlight, the 1992 Royal Rumble. The Big Show's here. We talked about his loss to Floyd Mayweather. His face was beaten up. The Great Khali came out. I guess we're going to feud. That sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, it's not great.
Randy Orton defeated Matt Hardy. Matt did do a good twist of fate on the floor, but wound up being all for naught. Dusty Rhodes shared some nice words about Ric Flair on a pre-tape. And JBL walked up to Randy and looked at the title and then looked at Randy and walked off. Spooky. In our final match of the night, Maria and Santino Marella had a no disqualification match, and all the Divas came out to help Maria win.
Yep. So,
good booking to, I guess, to get Santino and his stupid ass a beating that he deserved.
That is true. All right, Ric Flair's here to say goodbye. Last night he wrestled his very last match at WrestleMania. He'll never wrestle in this ring again, which is correct. He wants to thank everyone. He'll never forget it. And then he goes to leave, but Triple H comes out and tells him plenty of other people want to thank Rick, such as Triple H. So he does that. And then Triple H has some other people to introduce. So we get Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, J.J. Dillon, and Barry Windham, the Four Horsemen, who hadn't, I think, appeared as a group in quite some time leading up to this. And there's a whole story about how Vince, like, just let a lot of stuff go for one night for the betterment of this. So Batista came out, Ricky Steamboat, Harley Race, Greg the Hammer, Valentine, Dean Malenko, Chris Jericho, John Cena, and Rick's family, and then Shawn Michaels. And everyone kind of celebrates and pays tribute to Ric Flair, and then it goes off the air, and Undertaker and Vince also come out and celebrate. And it was nice. Nice little segment. Would have been nice if he stayed retired.
Yeah. Held up his end of the bargain, but he did not.
Yeah, great, great ending. Like you said, should have just been it for him. But I love when they are able to do that for departing folks. They should do it more. Two things, because you mentioned, I was sitting here thinking about Bruce Pritchard. And they made it, Cody made it very apparent that Bruce Pritchard is helping to lead this new era, you know, for however you want to see it. So I would love to hear his thoughts kind of more candidly now that Vince is gone on his podcast. So we'll see kind of how he opens up now that it's kind of, you know, confirmed that he's going to be sticking around. And then you mentioned Santino and Santino getting his comeuppance, and I can't help but think about Santino's daughter, Ariana Grace, eventually getting her comeuppance. But there's a mid-card women's title now on NXT.
There is.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
North American awesome. Women's Championship. First off, great that they kept it North American.
Yes.
And then, it's also great because the NXT women don't have that secondary title. Or unlike the main roster, there's two main women's titles. So you can avoid getting away with not having a mid-card. I think NXT could really benefit from having a mid-card. And we'll see if the main roster eventually gets one.
Yeah, I personally think that the main roster needs more beef in their mid card, and they need people to care about the mid card before they give them a title like that. I think they've done a good job of getting people to care about all the characters on NXT. Mm-hmm. It's one of the pluses of having a show where by design they have to give people reps and they have to put people on TV all the time. So I think it works in that degree, and also, it intrigues me that they said NXT is potentially part of the draft. And when I say that, I mean that I wonder if the lower and mid-card women on the main roster might get shuttled down there to work the mid-card title division down there. And also, to be fair, the North American title has appeared on WWE programming on the main roster several times over the last year or so. Mm-hmm. There's nothing stopping them from doing that again with somebody who has at least some significance. If I were to guess anybody who could do that right now, there's two people. Natty and Dakota Kai.
Yeah.
Dakota Kai because she's never won a title. Mm-hmm. And that would be interesting if she went down there and got that title.
Yeah.
Because I think she would do a fantastic job.
No, I agree. Okay. ECW.
Yes, let's get going.
From Miami, Kane is the champion now. So we've not seen anything yet. CM Punk comes out and lets Kane know that he could cash in on him right now, but he's not going to. Chavo.
Stop that. You know, like, I get it because he was on ECW, but, like, no, you're not, Punk. No, you're not. That's like when...
It's like when they had Undertaker go there because he might face Lashley.
Oh, and it's also like when they...
Or when they had Edge go to NXT.
Yeah, when they had Edge go to the Capitol Wrestling Center to confront Finn Balor, who's going to go face him and stand deliver. Give me a break.
So Shelton Benjamin also comes out. So in the main event, we're going to get Kane and Punk against Trouble and Shelton in a tag match.
Yeah, at least that's somewhat intriguing.
Yeah. Mike Knox defeats Steven Richards. Big Show defeats Colin Delaney. And then we go to Chavo and Shelton against CM Punk and Kane. We didn't have any segments on this show, just WrestleMania recaps and Ric Flair recaps and such.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes that's how you got to do it.
Yep.
That's like modern day. That's like modern day NXT. Or like 2014 NXT.
That's true. Loud chance for Punk as he starts it off with Shelton. And eventually he gets the win over Shelton with the GTS. So building momentum for CM Punk.
Yeah.
SmackDown from Miami. Edge and La Familia are here to open the show. Edge is mad about losing the title. He said he'll get back. Vicky says he'll get his rematch at Backlash, and Chavo will get a rematch against Kane for his ECW title at Backlash, and tonight Kane is wrestling The Undertaker. Matt Hardy defeats MVP in the first match on SmackDown after WrestleMania, so it's good to see things are resetting.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesse and Festus defeat Ryder and Hawkins. And Shawn Michaels is here. He's not usually on SmackDown.
No, he's not. That's very odd.
He once again talked about beating Ric Flair and then being there Monday night to see Rick's retirement and hugging him, gave him some closure, so he came to SmackDown to address everyone. But before he can, Batista comes out. Batista doesn't have closure because he'll never see Rick compete again, and he's taking it personally. And he's mad that Shawn would do that, said it wasn't the right thing to do. Shawn says Batista would have done the same thing, but Batista denies it, says Shawn has too big of an ego. Shawn said he had a job to do, and Batista said Shawn Michaels doesn't do jobs, which... Shoot, you get him.
Yep.
Yeah, Batista's kind of lashing out a little bit, and he's mad that Shawn called Rick Old Yeller. Does Shawn think that Rick is a sad old dog? And this will continue. So, interesting story coming here.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, like you guys said, we'll do the second week when we come back and we meet each other again. Thank you guys for joining us. Hope you guys enjoyed WrestleMania. Follow me on X at Cameron Santo, Rob's at Rob31, Chris is at Chris M. Novak. Listen to the Late Night Grin. Listen to everything on the Barbershare Network. At Barbershare Network on X, Nix, and around Facebook.com/Barbershare Digital. Drafts coming up. Kayla Williams thank season. God. Thank God we're about to get this shit over with. But tune in to Saturday Night at the Hollis. The boys will be in Detroit for a legendary night in Chicago Bear history. So... thank you guys. This has been Luther's Aggression. We enjoy wrestling as much as we enjoy you. We'll get to talk about it when we come back next time. For Rob and Chris, I am Pierce. We'll see you guys later.